there's a reality of these situations when she's saying about Pat's family. That proclamation today, it's a big deal, and it's something Mary and all of us to hold on to when you have these situations and you're aware, because she said, I could add X amount more to the list. Taking a word from the Lord and seeing the Lord restore a family and grabbing that in your heart by faith personally and in your personal intimate time. You hear me talk about this all the time, right? Because this is not a method by which we get help. This is a relationship. This leads us into a relationship by which we know Him. Okay? And through knowing Him and faith working through love, things change. So you can look at all the devastation, and this is not denial. This is just the way it is. You can look at all the devastation, be so moved by it that it inspires all your prayer because of the devastation. Or you can look at the goodness of God, the promise, the finished work of Christ, the proclamation and prophecy of what we circled and held hands, and begin to declare with all this in your mind, all those 20 things Mary's talking about that she could list, but you saw that she realized that's not relevant. What's relevant is God is moving. And there's an importance for you to represent His voice on the earth and say what He's saying. That's why life and death's in the tongue. We're created in His image. We're called to subdue the earth. So there's a place for you when that's running through your mind. The despair, the whole side of Pat, I'm just using them as an example because of her testimony, Pat, because it's fitting. Who else has a story you could tell like that where there's a lot of things you could see changed? My hand would be up too. The key is, Father, I thank You, You're restoring families. I thank You, You haven't forgotten anyone in the circle of our family. I thank You, God. Bam, bam. That's declarations of faith. That's proclamations of faith. Amen? And it releases the power and life of God. And it's very, very powerful because it keeps your heart in a place of faith, of rejoicing. I was just talking to Tammy at the break. You know, fighting the good fight of faith has nothing to do. If you looked at the Bible and the faith and contending for the faith, has nothing to do with the devil and what he's doing. It has to do with walking out, laying a hold of and walking out what Jesus accomplished and who you are because of that. The faith is holding on to your God-given identity, authority, and power. Fighting the good fight of faith is staying in the know of who you've become because of Him. Contending for the faith is the finished work of Christ, the Ephesians 6 armor that you wear. You're not wrestling against flesh and blood. I understand that. It sounds like we're in some kind of wrestling. We're not wrestling with people, but powers, principalities. So what's it say? It doesn't say to fight them. It says to arm yourself with the finished work of Christ. Or you're going to get your eyes on what He's doing, what's happening to people, and your whole motivation in prayer is going to be the problem. It'll be problematic Christianity instead of promise. It'll be prognosis instead of prophetic. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
You can look at our generation. You can look at our young people as the church and actually stereotype them based on the news, based on fruit, based on tendency in the last 20 years where the young of the earth might have drifted. You could study that out and let all that be the motivation of prayer. And you could pray because of your concern of trouble. And the prognosis could be the inspiration of what you're praying. Or you can look at the Word of God and your young men and your young women and the Spirit on all flesh. And you can begin to proclaim and declare over your society. True prophetic prayer and true intercession prayer gets in agreement with God and says what He's saying over the earth.
Amen.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And if it's not in a high note, it's not even the Spirit of God praying. It's just praying because of trouble. You follow me? So I'm just very encouraged to share that. That's just a little thought. It has nothing to do with what I thought I was teaching on. Maybe just go there a little bit. But when Mary's saying that, I just appreciated it, the listing these so we could pray and agree. Seed sown into them. I loved her tears just for the seniors. Every time she gets up there, she cries. I thought, do you think that's in her heart? Do you think it's the heart of God? It's just, I just love to see people that given in their heart to things and not withholding their heart. And it's cool. And then for the family, and then the seed sowing in for the first time, the love and the truth of the gospel. See, that's something to stand on in prayer. God, you've sown a seed. You said the kingdom of God is as if a man would scatter seed or sow a seed. And even if it seems small, you said when it's sown, it shall grow into the biggest tree. God, we thank you for redemption. We thank you for reconciliation. We thank you. See, that's your inspiration for prayer. It's not hype. It's based on truth. And truth makes you free. You get what we're saying here? So it's very important. A lot of prayer, if we'd look at a lot of Christian prayer, it's been reduced to natural knowledge, despair, desperation, woe is me, and oh my God. And it's not a place of power and authority. It's not even a place of faith. A place of faith is knowing... Yeah. Okay. Let's just... Are you okay on this topic for a little bit?
Oh, yeah.
Let's just go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 quick. It just came in my heart. So there's got to be something there. I don't even have a clue why we're going there, but there's got to be something good there. Chapter 4. I heard it, so we're going there. We'll find something. I'm going to look till we find something. Okay. Pressed, what if we live, always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, of life is designed. It's to the same spirit of faith, comes to be and believe, therefore, okay. Oh, wow, this is so good. I mean, I knew generally what's in here, but I knew there was something specifically the Holy Spirit was targeting. Wow. Thanks, God. It's really good. Well, who said what? Oh, well, what we're highlighting is actually in the zone of like 13 to 16, but let's just read this chapter for a minute. Can we do that? You guys know by now, we're just finished. Just say, read the chapter. Okay? We're just going to read. And, I mean, we got all week. No, serious. Oh, and then we start off chapter 4, verse 1 with a therefore. So what's that mean? Now we got to back up further. You guys are well taught, man. You guys got it down, baby. This is working. This class is working. You won't be able to ever read your Bible and just jump into the therefore. Your eyes will automatically start drifting back to find what it's there for. Won't it? Because you're forever printed. Amen. Wow. Okay. Thank you, God. He's talking in chapter 3 about the covenant under Moses, the law. Talking about eyes being veiled, and through Christ it's taken away. The veil's taken away through grace, through liberty, by the Holy Spirit. I'm not going into a lot of detail there. I think you guys understand that. Verse 17 says, now I love this. Because you can get so confused if you don't understand. I mean, that's not a deep river. You can get confused if you don't understand. You say, well, I thought Jesus is Lord. You know, because it says the Lord is the Spirit. Do you see that in your Bible? And people go, well, wait a minute. I thought Jesus is Lord. It says here the Lord is the Spirit. Well, it's the Spirit of the Lord Jesus. They're three, but they're one. It's just powerful. See, it's just awesome. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord, see how he interchanged it? The Lord is the Spirit, and we're the Spirit of the Lord. So the Spirit is of the Lord. It's the Spirit of the Lord. Okay? Where he is, there's liberty. But we all, now look, this is good stuff. We all, how many of us?
All.
Oh, with unveiled face. So this is a place we all are called to. With unveiled face, unveiled. Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Do you see the will of God is to restore you and transform you back into your original created value by the working of grace through the blood of Jesus Christ? But you have to, with an unveiled face, behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. You have to see the Lord's intention, His desire towards you, His impression towards you, His resume of you. You can't talk yourself out of that or around that. Okay? It's just, this isn't even where we were going, but it's so good. So we're here. But watch, transformed into that same image from what? From glory to glory. So you're increasing more and more. You see clearer today than you've seen before. Because of that, you love Him a little more than you've loved Him before. Why? Because you know Him a little bit more. To know Him is to love Him. To know about Him is to have knowledge. To know Him is to love Him. Are you following me? Okay. Because we are not here to know about Him. We have all been taught probably way too much. In a lot of areas. We've got a lot of teaching, and a lot of it's been contrary to what we've been taught. And now we're like trying to grab what's really what. And I'll tell you, getting alone and communing with Him and getting to know Him by the Spirit of God through the Word of God makes everything really clear. When I seek Him to do His will, I'll know the truth. He'll entrust me with truth. Okay? It's just very intimacy, just even that communion this morning and entering into places and times like that in your life is just absolutely huge. Because the power of God, this is going to sound strange to some of you, but I think you'll grasp it. In many cases, the power of God that's revealed, that's realized and recognized in manifestation is fueled by the truth of God. The truth of God translates into the power of God. Okay? So you and I, just settling into truth and knowing truth makes us free, automatically looses authority and the power of God. Automatically aligns your vision to what God's saying and doing. Truth, you hear me say this all the time, truth's your best friend. And He's the Spirit of truth. Jesus is the truth. So He's your best friend. The fact that He's the truth. Look, man thought it was a certain way. We beheld Him in grace and truth. The truth came. He came and revealed it like it is. You get it? It's so powerful. The power of God is released. Who remembers Jonathan in the school from Tennessee? Yeah, anybody in touch with him? Talking to him? Okay. Yeah, he's doing good. About his wife? Yeah, he left it on my phone. That's what I was going to tell you. It's the power of truth. About her ear?
Yeah.
Her ear's been deaf for 18 years. Did he tell you that?
Yeah.
18 years. He called. He was so cute on the phone. He wouldn't maybe like me saying that, but he was just so sincere. He's cool. Cute. He was cute. He was like, Pastor Dan, this is Jonathan, man. I just love you. I just want to tell you, I love you. And I'm like, okay, he loves me. It was so sincere. It was melting me. And he's just telling me how good they're doing. They're married. They're down in Carolinas. And he said, man, we were just driving, listening to a CD from the school on that it's all about love and it's all through the Father's love. And he said, her ear that was deaf for 18 years while she's listening, it's touching her heart. It's truth's opening her heart. Her ear opened. Deaf for 18 years. Now watch. Nobody praying. My disciple will continue in my word. Continue in my word. Not his mindsets and thoughts and yell butts and wrestlings and human wisdom and my word. A disciple continue in my word. He will know the truth. And what? The truth. It's not even a physical manifestation. It's not even a sensual thing. It's truth. Do you get it? It's the light coming on. It's the ding, 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 ding. And once you see, you can become what you see. That's why identity is so huge. That's why things... So you're sitting there. It was like the testimony. I don't know if I shared it in this class. This is a girl down south on my recorder a while back. She was told she couldn't receive Holy Spirit because she wasn't a clean vessel. She's listening to Righteousness CD. And yeah, for 3 years she's going to the church and feels like she can't receive Holy Spirit. And now, by now she must really be dirty. So she's so condemned. She's listening to a Righteousness CD on how God loves her and how to pray and receive God's love. And she's bawling. She pulls over the van and says, "You really do love me." Well, for 3 years she's thinking she can't be loved. She's thinking, "I'm dirty and I'm unlovable and I need to clean up so He can come." So she's under that pressure for 3 years. All of a sudden she just releases one expression of faith through truth she was hearing, and truth came and made her free. She just felt the love of God come all over her and began to pray in other tongues and just worship Jesus and cried and cried. Called my number, because it was back when John put my home number on all the CDs he handed out. It said Neck Ministries. It was my home phone number. She called that number to leave a testimony with Neck Ministries of how this message just and what just happened. And she was elated. I just came in my kitchen door and there's ladies crying on my phone. Well, I ran to my phone. She sounded, you know, at first she sounded almost desperate. And I realized she was elated. I grabbed the phone and I talked to her and she's like, "Are you this fella, Dan?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Oh, God bless you. God bless you." And she says, "Woo!" Praying in tongues, like, and it's truth. You get it? It wasn't, I won't mess your hair up because it looks nice. It wasn't, you know, ministry. I'm not against ministry. There's a place for it. It's truth. Truth made her free. Now don't blow out what I said. Do you have something? Oh, okay. Oh, you're just walking. Okay. Bless Him, Lord. Are you okay? Okay. Watch this. The same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, since we have this ministry. Wow. Isn't that awesome? Since we have this ministry, we don't lose heart. It's the ministry you just described. The veil that's taken away. The Spirit of the Lord bringing liberty. Men being redeemed, delivered, and restored back to their original value. Since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we don't lose heart. Do you see how important mercy is? Do you see how important mercy is? Mercy has come. Satan can't defeat the mercy of God. Because we've received mercy, we can't lose heart. Why? Because mercy, His mercy endureth forever. Okay? Now watch. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, handling the Word of God deceitfully. This is amazing because Tina, it's amazing how God will set up something. Tina shared, and before she shared all the good things God was doing, and the record said, and the Son calling, which was all, everybody's just, oh, and it's just the tearjerker, right? What's the first thing she said? God's been just dealing with me with integrity. Inside and out. Who are my motives? Purity. Integrity. Did you hear her say that? God's been dealing with me for, I think she said actually a month or for months, with integrity. Watch. Putting away what? Renouncing what? Hidden things. Hidden things of shame. Not walking in craftiness. Or handling the Word of God deceitfully. Not doing anything for your own gain, your own esteem, your own reputation, your own cause, your own benefit, your own purpose. But for His name's sake and for others. Hallelujah. Man, if we can just live for His name's sake and others, it's a pure day. And the pure in heart shall see God. Did you get it? Come on, it's a big deal. So we've renounced these things. By the manifestation, of what? The truth. Commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. What you see is what you get. You get it? The truth is a big deal here. But even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. Whose minds the God of this age blinded. I'm not going to teach a lot of this. Let's just read. Who has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. Isn't it amazing? They're preaching Jesus, but yet their lives are a living epistle and commended to the conscience of every man. And they're not preaching themselves, they're preaching Christ. But yet their lives are a living epistle and example, and men are looking at their lives as a living epistle. They're not upholding themselves and saying, look at me, watch me, follow me. This is, they're preaching Christ, and as they're preaching Christ, they're seeing Christ in them. You get it? It's a big deal. So you don't bear witness of yourself. You let the grace of God do that. Now watch. At least the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus, verse 5, the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for his sake. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown our hearts, in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now I want you to see this point, that how God functions. God doesn't focus on darkness. He calls light out of darkness. He finds light in the face of darkness. Do you get it? Now, it's just the first little point I want to make as we're going here. Because there's some stuff we need to see about prayer, authority, confession, declaration. And it's not a principle thing. It's a revelation thing. It's authority. It's because if these things aren't coming out of a healthy identity and a relationship, they'll just become prayer methods. I've seen so many of us get trapped in just prayer. We read on decreeing and declaring, so now we stand up and decree and declare, and yet live insecure and not sure who we are, and the least little bit of word against us breaks us, and yet we're standing like mighty warriors declaring, and we've reduced the gospel to a principle. And we wonder where the power is. The power is in a healthy identity when you're praying out of knowing who He is and who you've become in Him. And then it's never presumptuous. It's never driven by need. It's actually working through love. You see the state of society. You see darkness all around. But the light has come. And all of a sudden you find light in the face of darkness. And you call forth light in the face of darkness. Isn't that what God did? Okay. It's really important. Because we don't realize how much notoriety, how much power we give the enemy when we're focused on him and letting him be our motivation of prayer. What you're actually saying is you're amazing, your power is incredible, you're causing us a lot of harm, and if God doesn't come, we're in trouble. That's really what we're actually saying most of the time in a paraphrase without realizing it. No, the bottom line is Jesus is Lord. And you're going to see Paul's triumphant declaration here of selflessness and faith. And if you don't understand why you're a Christian, see, this is why the school we covered took so much time in the first few weeks to cover all these things. Why we're saved, the intention of God in sending His Son, who we are because of Him, and the motive behind all that. It's not just hoping for a breakthrough, hoping for our circumstances to align, hoping for a better day. It's so we can manifest Him in the face of darkness, so we can shine and look like Him in the midst of a perverse and crooked generation, right? So no matter how hard we're squeezed, Christ is pouring out. We're leaving a legacy. We're manifesting His nature. It's not about our ducks being in a row. It's about our priority and our identity being aligned, right? Okay. For it's God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's where we live from. That's where we pray from. Watch this. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. It's amazing. That the excellence of the power may be what? Of God and not of us. Man, if we will just understand and catch that, it's a grace, it's a mercy thing. It's all God's design and will and plan, and it's His good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Now look, it sounds so glorious and so triumphant here. But you have to understand you're in the world, but you're not of the world. So you have to understand there's trials, there's adversity. Sometimes you're grieved with certain trials so that the genuineness, 1 Peter 1, the genuineness of your faith is found more, which is tested by fire, is found more precious than gold, right? It's genuine faith. Watch. He shares this triumphant thing about the light and the darkness and the treasure in earthen vessels, the excellence of the glory and the knowledge of God. And then he says, we are hard pressed on every side. Okay, people that are hard pressed on every side, he says, yet we're not crushed. People that are hard pressed on every side are usually just about crushed or telling you they're just about crushed. And then they justify their state based on the hard pressing. That's because we turn inward. We don't understand. We don't understand our place in adversity. We don't understand persecution, suffering for his namesake, people not understanding us. We don't get it. Now watch. I want you to see how Paul is writing and seeing in the light of victory here and not what he's going through. We're hard pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. You know, we're perplexed. We don't always understand everything. Do you always understand everything? Sometimes you don't even know what God is doing. It seems that way, right? But you know who he is, and you put your faith and confidence in his nature, in the fact that he's good. He can't be playing charades. He's not changed his mind. His steadfastness, his faithfulness. Sometimes you don't see the middle between A and B. Do you? So that's where putting your trust in him and not leaning on your own understanding. Because when you lean on your own understanding, you are finished immediately. Because that puffed up way that seems right to a man will just crow in your head. And you'll think you have a grip on things and be way wrong. How's that for just straight? Okay? Well, let me see. Well, I think, well, you know, well. Sometimes you just don't know. God, you know, I have no clue how you're working this out or what's going on and why that just happened that way. I was praying this, but it went the total opposite way. But you know, I see the end. I see the promise. I see the prophecy. And I know you're good. And I rejoice in the fact that you're moving effectually on the behalf of others right in this. And I thank you, Lord. Bam, bam, bam. See, that's relationship. That's knowing God. That's saying, I don't understand this, but I trust you because I know you through your son and you love us and you're for us and you're not playing charades. A lot of us have not prayed that way. We look, we stop, look, and listen to wrong things and voices and go, ah! And then we pray harder, pray more desperate, pray more scared. This isn't going the way we, Come on, who can relate to what I'm saying? We'll pray and then we'll take inventory and see if our prayers are working. I had this guy calling me once about his wife, and he's like, and I'm telling him about love and prayer, and he called me back. You know, this isn't working. I said, what do you mean it's not working? It's not a method. It's a lifestyle. What do you mean it's not working? You're scaring me now. Well, I mean, I was just praying that and the first things out of her mouth this morning were bup, 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 bup. So those prayers didn't even, God didn't move at all. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. He's trying, he's literally, for his own sake, convenience, it's a, you can call it witchcraft if you want. He's trying to control her through his prayers to God for her to be the way he needs her to be. And if it's not, it's not working. And I had to talk to him about that. And your life is not contingent on her expression and behavior today. It's contingent on you manifesting Jesus and looking like the Son of God. And that was a pretty shock reality to him. And he ended up not liking me for a long time because he thought his wife should change. Yeah. And he thought I should care about that. Yeah. And but he honestly, it's a true story. He ended up not liking me for years. Years, like hating me. Told me, came to me crying and said, I've hated you for 3 years. When I heard your name, my blood boiled. Because you wouldn't tell me what I wanted to hear. And I said, I never will unless what you want to hear is in agreement with Jesus. Then I'll tell you. I'm going to tell you what Jesus is saying. And you can put me on a cross, hate me, despise me. I love you too much to compromise to save face. See, because if a man can cut you off as quick as accept you, you have nothing there anyway. So you don't need surface acceptance. You need truth that makes men free. Isn't that what Jesus did his whole ministry? Spoke truth and spoke truth and spoke truth and ah! And next thing you know, he's hanging on a cross between two thieves. That's amazing. And if they'd have listened to everything he said, it would have been a good day, right? We're hard-pressed on how many sides? Wow. You almost think God would cut this man a break. He's laying down his life for the gospel. Come on, God, lighten up. At least move somebody from the left or the right. Isn't that how we could think? You could consider yourself when you're hard-pressed on every side. Yet not crushed. We're perplexed. We're perplexed. How can you be perplexed and not in despair? Because you put your faith in him. You know his nature. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Why? Because it's not love from men that we live from. It's the love of God that causes us to love the men. It's nice when people love you, but you're not in the need of the love of people. And a lot of pastors won't stand up and tell you that. They'll think that we all need one another in the sense of, I love you, oh, and that we can't survive unless we find love from one another. No, you find love from God. He's the source of love, and in that, I become a great lover. Like, I don't need your love, but your love would bless me. Your love would edify me, sharpen me, encourage me. But the lack of your love can't possibly bankrupt me. Because I'm called to you. I'm called to love you. I'm called to be like him. If you accept that, it'll make you totally free. So many people fight with that because they still need something this way. And the only reason, now I'm in trouble. The only reason is because we're not getting it completely this way. Because you can see this, you can feel this, you can hear this with your tangible ear. So we just take that real quick. But this takes faith in seeking him in secret place and challenging every lie and casting down every imagination and standing in him and believing he's everything and everyone he said he is. You see what I mean? So I'm not ashamed to preach that I don't need you to love me, but that would be awesome. It's not what I wake up for. To know the love of Christ is to be filled with all the fullness. Study the word fullness, a house with no empty rooms. So if I'm a house with no empty rooms, then I'm lacking nothing even if you don't love me. Because the rooms are filled. Do you get it? The Word of God is so powerful. To know the love of Christ is to be filled with all the fullness of God. So, oh my goodness, to know His love is my pursuit. I know Him through the cross, through the crucifixion, through a life laid down. Now in covenant and communion, I give myself back to Him and two become one. And now I look through eyes that are fulfilled and satisfied. And now I can finally be effective to the world I was created for. Do you get it? Or I'm still a man in need. And you're still my barometer. We go through that a lot. We make sure that's not the way you live. You're still in my barometer. You have the power to make or break. And I lose sight that I'm called to love you. Come on. Don't fight with that. God doesn't fight with that because God is love. You show me any conditions where humanity has satisfied His love and qualified His love. His love is unconditional. His love is never failing. His love doesn't seek His own. Why? Because it's love. It's not, I love you, do you love me? It's, I love you. Come on, it's the purest, most life-changing revelation, the love that comes from God. Okay? So this is how Paul could be persecuted, get stoned, get up and go back in the city. This is how Paul could go to a place knowing chains and persecutions are waiting him there and still open his mouth and preach Jesus. Why? Because he saw the value of their souls. He knew the love of God for them that saved him. And at the cost of his own life, he would proclaim that even if it cost him life. And honestly, I don't believe he got that in the beginning because it was so harsh. And he said, please take this from me. I can't open my mouth without getting pummeled. I can't go into a city without getting beaten and whipped and stoned. And please, God, would you remove this thing from me? This thorn of persecution, it's tracking me everywhere I go. I can't even evangelize without getting pummeled. That's all he was crying out. It had nothing to do with being sick. And he said, look, my grace is sufficient for you. In your weakness, I'm really made strong. Now go be my boy. Why? Because he told him, I'll show you the things you must suffer for my name's sake. Now, you're not going to do that if you're not complete in him, if you're not knowing he loves you. He said in the one place where the Lord Jesus himself came and stood beside me and said, be strong. You're going to, but be strong. I'm with you. It was a lot of opposition. I want you to stay here while I keep on preaching. Because we tend to weigh outwardly, don't we? Oh, they're not getting it. Boy, they don't want God. Boy, I'm getting a lot of reverb here. I probably shouldn't be here. I'm probably out of the timing and will of God. And we weigh natural evidence to decide truth. And love is what decides truth. Okay? And you'd be amazed. I told you the story how I was praying to go to the mission field. And the only reason was is because I was getting discouraged with the church. Because I felt like we didn't appreciate righteousness in the gospel. And I felt like we were still selfish and we just wanted what God could do for us. And I felt a lot of things that the devil believes about all of us. And in some cases, watch, I might have been correct and not even judgmental. But none of those things should be my motive for wanting to go somewhere else. That's a lack of love. Because if I had love in that hour, I would have cried all the more, diligent all the more, louder off the housetop, rooftops than ever before. I would have been more diligent than before. Not praying to get me out of here and take me to somewhere where people are hungry. What am I saying? Well, these people don't love you. They don't really want you. Bunch of religious men. Why don't they get real? Shape up or ship out. But get me out of here if they ain't going to change God. In a sense, I had no knowledge that that was my motivation until God exposed it. Because I was pondering them things in my heart. Feeling like we weren't sincere. We didn't love God. This was years ago. I'm talking 12 years ago. Getting real deceived. All of a sudden, the motivation would have been my disdain towards the church. And everything God would have done through my life and ministry would have reflected and projected back on that disdain to say, see, And I'd have been in shock one day when the chips fell, huh? Finding that my motivation wasn't even Him, wasn't even love for humanity. If we don't have these kind of intimate times and exchange and just sometimes even laying quiet, this morning I expressed my heart a little, but then I just turned on a soft piano and just laid quiet and just laid there. Because then if He wants to father me, He can. If He wants to talk to me, if He wants to go, psst, hey. Oh, yeah. You see? It's not all just rah, but there's a lot of this in my life. Because it just keeps me here. You get what I'm saying? And then He can father me from that place. But I want you to see His view. So could Paul possibly be focusing on the hard-pressed and the perplexing and the persecution? No, but is that his focus? He's not denying that it's there, but what his joyful triumph is, I don't live by those things. Those things aren't determining my life.
It all changed so I would be spent for you.
Yeah.
Later on. Yeah.
Right. Watch this. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. This is an amazing statement. That the life of Jesus also may be made manifested in our body. Lose your life, you'll find it. You're dying for His name's sake, and it's a place of greater grace, greater empowerment. It's just, it's an amazing thing. And actually of greater purpose, if you want to get really down to it, it's greater purpose. Watch. For we who live always are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake. That the life of Jesus... See, if you don't have a strong identity, you could be at work and you could feel like you're failing, you're not a good witness, people disdain you, people this and that. And then you could begin to respond because of that and come across certain ways, project because of those beliefs instead of just be sincere and just let your light so shine before men. Do you understand what I mean? You can let other things begin to motivate your expression of Christ. You can get a little insecure. You can feel like, man, nobody's really, man, they're not, man, they really changed ever since I told them oh man. And all of a sudden now you're trying to speak into that and make a statement and change their minds. And it's all works of the flesh. It's all works of the flesh. Just be real. Be sincere without hypocrisy. Stay in this place and just go to work and let your light shine. And if there's grace and a window and a doorway, fine. But sometimes there might be a season of just your good character and just your good nature and just your kindness to all that reveals and exemplifies the Father. You know, or you're going to be under some, man, I'm not doing enough. I ain't seen nobody healed. I ain't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just a season there where you're at work. When I got saved, them guys were head over. They were saying I was in a cult. Who brainwashed you? What's going on with you? Because I was one of the boys for 13 years. And now I'm totally born again. Totally, completely born again. I didn't run in there and go, Jesus saved my life. Praise God, I'm born again. Yay! I didn't even do that. I just went to work extremely thankful. In 4 days, They sent a guy into the bathroom when I went in the bathroom at the end of the shift as a spokesman in the back end where I worked to ask me what's going on in my life. 4 days, and I said not one word about Jesus. Now, was I ashamed of him? No. I had just seen a Christian come in who was going through a divorce, and he went to a church and said he got born again and was even handing out tracts because they said, well, if you're saved, you need to let others know. And then as soon as things went a certain way with his wife, that was the last he ever said about church and Jesus. Talked the same, drank the same, ran around the same as soon as his wife came home. And then everybody says, oh, Christianity's just a crutch, you know, yeah. I didn't feel a need to go in and preach Jesus, but I'll tell you what Holy Spirit did. I didn't even know what I was doing. The need was to go in and live Jesus. Not preach Jesus, live Jesus. You know what the Lord told me after I left there to go to pastoring full time? He said, you have sowed into the hearts of men a life lived. That's what he said to me in the kitchen. It really got me at the time, and I'll get through it today. He said, and by your life's expression, I have used your life to unstop ears that have been closed to my truth. Because I have used you as a living epistle in their eyes. And the ears that were stopped are now open to hear. And I'm like, huh. So then I go to a prayer rally, and one of my coworkers is there. Took a personal to go there. He got born again right after I left. I go out for the March for Jesus, and there's Al marching down the street for Jesus. Al, what are you doing? I'm marching for Jesus. Okay, what happened since I've seen you last, buddy? That's what I'm thinking. You know what he told me? He said, man, I knew your life was changed. I watched you and I so admired it. And he said, but then when you'd walk away, I'd hear what they'd say and I'd see how they'd mock and I'd see the mean things they'd say and how they'd just tear you up behind the scenes. And later I got thinking, why am I letting that keep me from what I know is true? Why am I staying from him? The Lord. Because when he thought about it, what they were saying behind the scenes wasn't hurting. What was that costing me? What? If you look at me today and say, boy, what a flake. What am I losing? Exactly. You can get in a little huddle over here and say, well, I don't know. I think Dan is this and I think. And you could even create, help me, some kind of webpage, maybe Facebook. And just put my face on the book and say he's this, 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 and this, and negative stuff. What am I losing? Nothing. Whoa. That sure beats. They said, what? I had a pastor once. He used to mess with people. He'd say, man, he'd say, do you want to know what the devil's been saying about you? Man, some things have been going around. The devil's really been saying some stuff about you. Do you care to know? And they're like, what? What's going on? What? What are you saying? He said, well, why do you want to know? He's a liar. Why did you want to know? But it's like, what? What's going on about me? What's going on about me? What are people saying about me? What did you hear on the grapevine in the church? What did you hear on the gossip train rolling around the track of the church? Oh, God. People would care. They would really care. They were like, who's saying what? Isn't that something? Now watch. That the life may be manifested. For we who live are always delivered for to death for the sake of for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. Do you all understand that phrase? No? Well, he says, so death is working in us, but life in you.
Yes.
Even when Paul said about my chains, don't mourn for my chains. For they're for your glory. They reveal the glory of God. Man, follow my example. You know, don't feel sorry for me. Understand what motivates me. That's the kind of comments he's trying to make and get across. Nick,
check the verse. It's because I'm allowing myself to be dead daily, or killing myself daily and giving it up for God, that fruit is manifested for your evidence.
It's always going to see his life.
It's made it manifest in my life.
So. Death, resurrection. Yeah, it's the dividends of a life surrendered is what it is. Do you get it? It's the dividends of a life surrendered. Now watch. And since we have the same spirit of faith, now he's given away how we can live this way. You get it? What? No, it's okay.
Let me go back one verse. I'm still a little bit out here. Do you mean dead to self?
Yes.
Yeah, death is working in us. Yeah, it's, you know, he says, man, we're regarded as filth, the scum of the earth. We're da, 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 da. You know, there's men were despising them. They were thinking, they were like, man, you guys are blasphemers. You're lost. You're some kind of cult leaders. You're some kind of, right? They were enduring beating, Paul's list of beating with rods, stoned, whipped, all that stuff, right? So he suffered perils. When the church sees that, it sends a great message. Plus, like Mick was saying, there's a reaping of that surrendered life. So he's a living epistle of a life surrendered. And it looks like we're sheep all the day long, killed for your sake. Right? Right? Counted as sheep. But yet in all these things, we're more than conquerors. Why? Because we're free from me. Right? And we're manifesting him. And he says to follow his example. There's just so much power there. There's a whole lot you could teach about that. But I want you to see this. Now he's going to give away and reveal how he can have this attitude. Because watch this. Be honest with me and humble. And if I'm not correct in saying this, somebody help me. But in the average church mind today, Christian's mind today, when you're hard pressed, when you're perplexed, and when you're persecuted, you are big time on the prayer list and in depression. And you have every reason to be. You justify your condition because of the list. I'm not being insensitive right now. I'm being real. Well, brother, how do you expect me to feel? Look what I'm going through. I mean, it's on every side, brother. Where's God's protection? I thought God loved me. Why isn't God protecting me? Did you ever hear that language come out of people? Man, you are so setting yourself up for more. You are telling the devil, this is so about me, and everything you're doing is working, and you've got so much momentum rolling now, you're about crushing me, so keep up the job. You're doing a good job. Hammer away. That's exactly what you're telling the devil when you have those conversations with people. And then human intellect gives us the right to turn around and say, yeah, but God, why doesn't he protect him? God, why doesn't he love him? What is he up to? He's up to redeeming your life if you'd let him. Stop loving your own life. Paul could have had a list. I'll get to Sharon in a minute. Paul could have had a list of all the reasons he was having a bad day. True? Even in 2 Corinthians 11, it's really funny because he's saying, I speak as a fool. He says... Are they Hebrews? So am I. In verse 22 of 2 Corinthians 11, are they the seed of Abraham? Well, so am I. Watch this. Are they ministers of Christ? And then he says, I speak as a fool. I am more. He's trying to teach and prove a point and give an example and a lesson here. He's not boasting saying, I'm a better minister than everybody else. You know, there's a lot of people peddling the word for wrong reasons. And there was a lot of people doing a lot of things, speaking because of his chains, in spite of his chains. There was a lot of stuff going on back then. Here's what he said. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. See, most people, if you're not surrendered, you won't endure these things. If you don't understand it's loving not your own life unto death, and you're in the gospel to manifest Jesus and follow him, you won't understand this. Watch this. He says, abundant stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 minus 1 stripe. 3 times beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times shipwrecked. Night and a day I've been in the deep. And journeys often, and perils, and perils, and perils, and perils, and perils, and sleeplessness, and hunger. Well, if you were in faith, brother, God would have fed your belly, and you'd have got some rest. See, that's what we started doing to each other. Oh, my goodness. In toil, in sleeplessness, in hunger, in thirst, in fastings often, cold and naked, besides the other things. Watch the man of God he is. What comes upon me daily, my deep concern for the church, all the churches. Who is weak and I am not? Who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation? If I must boast, I'll boast in the things which concern my weakness. What he's saying is, as a man, he would never endure this. And there's feelings that come upon him. There's things, but he stays submitted. He stays surrendered. Do you get it? It's amazing. So here's the deal. Verse 13. And since We have the same spirit of faith according to what is written. According to what is written. I believed, and therefore what? I spoke. You'll find that in Psalms 116. It's also in Romans 10. I believe, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore speak. Okay, what do you speak? You speak what you believe. So when you pray, inspired by the problem, you're actually declaring, I believe the trouble. Are you following me? When you speak the prophecy, the word of God, the promise, your faith is attaching to what God says. There's people that talk and talk and talk. I've been a pastor for a while. I've been privileged to actually be in a pastoral position. When I say privileged, hands-on, personal, behind the scenes, where I feel like I can take time and help people. For a long time of my Christian, 15 years of Christian, 12 and a half of those years have been at a pastoral level. And I've heard time and time again the lists of despair and trouble and all the justifications for the flesh. And then please pray for me or help me or why is God letting these things happen or what am I doing wrong? And countless, more than I could, I don't remember faces and names. I just know those conversations have been countless because we're not understanding what this man of God is saying. And most of the time when we're praying, forgive me, I there's a side to warfare and maybe we can get on it and teach it. But most of the time we're praying, we think we're fighting and beating up the enemy. And telling him a thing or two. And it's almost always shadow boxing. And you're appeasing yourself spiritually in some sense. And with very little avail. The truest sense of spiritual warfare is speaking the truth in love. We might get to search this out and study this out in another day. But I'm just going to make this statement. You can write it down. It'll be on the CD. There is no greater form of intercession than the truth being spoken in love. It is the greatest intercession, the greatest power of intercession on the planet. Because the why is always pure and the truth makes men free. You get it? I believe, therefore I speak. That's why it talks about not being quick and hasty with your lip. Slow to speak, slow to anger. The two things that we could struggle with, real quick fused. Well, and when the anger, when the fuse kicks off, that's when the mouth opens. And that's the real important time to hush. Because from that moment on, everything you say is detrimental and lifeless. Because it's not coming out of love. It's not even coming out of wisdom or truth. It's just coming out of feelings, emotions. Is God bigger than all that? Yeah. But why create that stuff? Why put a demand on mercy like that? Why even set yourself up for stuff like that? It says a man's stomach will be full of the fruit of his lips. So just that quick fuse. Well, that's just the way I am. Well, God just made me that way. Wrong. Don't do that. I've heard people do. Well, and they make exception for it when it's actually helping destroy them subtly. You see what I'm saying? Slow to speak. Slow to anger. And quick to listen. That would work real well in our relationship pursuing with him too. Sitting there and telling God a thing or two is probably not the best idea either. He might respond to you like he did Job. Okay, stand and answer like a man. Where were you when I created the earth? And then they ask him all these questions. Where were you when I... And I'm like, the first time I ever read that, I shuddered and thought, God, please keep me humble. Just go to Job 42 and just read it and just be humbled sometime. I think it's 42. Somewhere around there, 40, 42. Somebody had hands raised. Did you ladies back there?
I have a question. Is there a time that we also have a crisis to God?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's not even wrong. Absolutely. It's not even wrong. I'm not talking about stuffing your feelings. That's rare that I see that in a healthy way. A lot of times we have such a need to talk about our troubles. because our troubles do tend to start identifying us. Some of the greatest attentions people receive, you run a very high risk a lot of times of drawing certain things that comforts, that feel good, but they're surface. They don't answer the need. Just people caring. Just that sometimes the highest level of grace people can receive is that somebody cares. Why? Because they're not receiving His love this way. And a lot of times, and I don't judge people on this, that would be a sin, but I've learned and talked, and I've had a lot of people cry, and all of a sudden, they just talking about their trouble, they'll get the, wow, man, I'm really sorry. Man, you're going through that? Yeah. Well, man, that's got to make you feel, oh, yeah, but I mean, and then they'll quote something spiritual. But they're staying on the track of the trouble, and it's drawing some kind of compassion, some kind of sympathy, some kind of empathy. Man, you don't need sympathy and empathy. You need faith that works through love. So here's my answer to your question. Let me give you an example, a practical example. So I'd be sitting on my bed, and things are going crazy. Wow, Father, I just thank You that You're God. You know, just looking through as a man in my feelings, my soul, and Jesus, You were tempted at all points, yet without sin, and You're not unsympathetic. You understand right now the emotion that's trying to go through me. But I'm just getting a grip on it right now because I see this and this, and it's tending to make me feel this way. But I thank You. Bam. So, and sometimes the importance of that is to identify this for what it really is and set it apart and establish truth. That's the only way I'll acknowledge how I feel if it's not healthy or acknowledge the problem when I'm in prayer. That's the only way I'll acknowledge the problem, in the face of the strong answer. Does this make sense? Not just, Lord, please have mercy on me. When are You going to change this? God, I've been praying and praying for 3 weeks. I'm not being mean and I'm not making fun of people. I'm just being real. God, when are You going to change this? I thought You loved me. Come on, how long, God? That is like zero. Zero. Because you believe, therefore you speak. So out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth. So when you're having that pity party thing, what are you actually saying you believe? I really can't trust You, and I feel like You've forsaken me. And some preachers will tell you, man, if you feel like God forsook you, you need to tell Him that. I won't ever preach that. Don't even give yourself permission to feel like God forsook you. That is straight from hell. It's a lie. Why give yourself permission to be at odds with God? You know, people will say, well, yeah, but you know how we can be. And I mean, everybody gets mad at God now and then. You all feel like you have a right to get mad at God. I never have a right to get mad at God. If I would even be, well, that's beyond temptation. That doesn't even happen. Why? Because there's a truth established in me. So to be mad at God, to me personally, I understand how people do. I'm not judging people and criticizing. What I'm saying is, it's just a ludicrous thought. It's absolute deception. It takes you nowhere. It doesn't establish trust. Trust in Him with all your heart. Lean not on your own. Do you know why you can get mad at God? Because you're leaning heavy on your own understanding. And then it subverts trust. So now you can't trust in Him because you're leaning on your own understanding. But in all your ways, what? In how many ways?
All.
Acknowledge who?
Him.
Why? Because that's the prophecy. That's not the prognosis. That's the answer. That's not the problem. You're highlighting Him, and He's your victory. He's your deliverance, and He's the way. Does this make sense?
Yes.
This is a very simple principle of prayer that's probably not understood a lot or taught enough. And I would apologize if it's not taught enough. Because I think we pray about a lot of stuff. Honestly, I think people pray about a lot of stuff and a lot of things. But I think the way we pray gets us more conscious of the hard-pressed, perplexion, and persecution.
Yeah.
Right? Instead of the grace that's greater than all these things. Now watch. We believe, so therefore we speak. And we believe, therefore we speak. So He's just saying that we're following this truth. Knowing. Man, there's always something you have to know. When you watch Paul's writings, you do a little study sometime, and you look how many times Paul says knowing. 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 Meaning that we're called to have a revelation of something. And the word knowing most of the time is epinosis. It's experiential understanding. It's not just gnosis, head knowledge. Oh, yeah, I know that. It's like 2 + 2 = 4. Yeah, I know that. It's like, well, God loves me. Yeah, oh, yeah, I know God loves me. There's a difference between knowing God loves you and being loved by God. Yes. All right? Okay. And it comes to relationships. Watch this. Knowing that He... Now, here's the view He lived from. Knowing that He who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and present us with you. Watch this. For all things are for your sakes. That means God is going to work all things to the good. Right? For those who what? Not question God, love God. See, we quote that promise thinking it's a bailout. But it's for people that remain in faith and believe and therefore speak. Watch what happens. You can create a greater snowball and open access to the enemy, and things can even become a greater landslide when you fail to see His love for you and the hope of your calling. Yeah. It says, God works all things together for the good for those who what? Love. You know what love is in there? It's the way God loves you. When you believe the best about Him and you stand your ground and trust Him, no matter what it looks like, feels like, or seems like, you will not lean on your own understanding. You will not find a case against God. God forbid, you will charge Him in the matter. Because then you're declaring self-interest at the cost of who He is. You getting this? It has nothing to do with relationship and covenant. You follow me? So He works all things together for the good for those who love Him and are called. Now, according to His purpose, watch how devious and seductive Satan is and subtle. He'll get people in trials to do what? Question God's love and question their calling, if they even fit. Yes. True? Yes. Come on! And the way things work together for the good is because the man that knows who he is, because he knows who he is. Did you get it? He knows who he is because he knows who he is. He doesn't budge. He continues to proclaim God's love and know that he's in the right position of God's grace, and all things work together for the good. Why? Because he's praying from the perspective of life and truth and answers and destiny. Not woe is me. Okay? Come on, this is clear. At least it feels clear to me. It's very important in our prayer lives to pray this way. Or we're quoting Scripture. Well, yeah, but I know, brother, God works all things together for the good. And stop right there. I hear people, they stop right there. And that's just a religious plea. It's a desperate cry, hoping things work out because they're already undone and unsettled. And if you find somebody in that place, you don't throw them away. You build one up with a spirit of gentleness. You teach them, you encourage them, you get their eyes back. But I'll tell you what. Anybody that's come to me in those situations, you can testify, I don't talk about the problem at all. I talk about who you are in the face of that problem and who He is right now as we're talking and what that really means to you. Yeah. Who knows that to be true if you come to me with something like that? That's all I'll do. Because that's all I see here. That's all I see here. Right? Mick?
And that dying to self and presenting ourselves and manifest to other people, I'll often do that same scripture in that respect of that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall also raise us up in Lord Jesus.
That's right.
As a Romans 6 experience, we're crucified with Christ and we're dead and buried with Him.
Sure.
And we're resurrected with Him.
Sure.
Same as His glory.
Sure.
Manifest in us through us.
Right. Amen. And it's this phrase, you know, that we can relate to, that come hell or high water phrase we grew up with. I don't mind it implying that a lot of times because you all know what it means. That is true come hell or high water. The hell or high water pressing in on our life doesn't change the truth of who He is and who we are. It's all about our response. Remember how I always say in the fire, Nebuchadnezzar was going to throw him in a furnace. It was never about the fire. It was never about them dying. It was about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and who they serve and who their God is. It was all about who He is. It was never about the fire ever to them. To us, it's about the fire. It's like, oh my God, I can't believe this is going to happen. God, you have to stop this. They actually said, what is your fire to us? We don't even have a need to answer you in this matter. Because it's not about you burning us. It's about Him being God. because he's Lord, we will never worship you. Do you get it? And the king was what? Enraged. Countenance changed. He was enraged. And he what? Tweaked the fire 7 times more. Why? Because Satan believes that if he makes it even tighter and more complex and worse after you took your stand, and then it got worse, you'll break and your real motive will be exposed. Come on. He honestly, I believe he thinks that most of us are just using religious tactics, spiritual tactics and methods to get answers to what we need. And I don't believe he's bucking. I don't believe he's surrendering. I don't think he's impressed by our prayers. He's moved by authority. He's moved by the anointing of God. He's moved by the Spirit of the Lord. If I cast out spirits by the finger of God, not the tone of voice, the finger of God, means the Spirit of the Lord, then surely the kingdom's upon you. Right? So King Nebuchadnezzar, bam, they take a stand, and now it's 7 times worse than it just was. Who's that ever happened to? And the whole intention is to what? To shake you and break you. Get you to second guess. And what am I doing wrong? And man, what's wrong in my life? Why don't I find favor? Why is God holding out? So we let what we're going through and how we feel change who He is and who we are. And then we pray from the place of the problem. That is not true intercession. You following? Mary?
As we're talking about this, I was recalling back when Kira had the brain tumor. When I got the phone call. And, you know as well as I do how long it was 9.5 years that I went barren.
Right.
With many miscarriages and everything. And in the natural, when I got that call, I could have just melted on the floor and been a blubbering mess. But instead, I went into the bathroom, pulled the door shut, and I just sat in there and I said, Lord, do you remember the promise?
Amen.
That you made me concerning this one.
Right.
And in my spirit, I heard immediately, of course I remember the promise. And I had someone in my family tell me, how dare you approach God like that?
Right.
And I'm like, I had every right. I mean,
there's such a place to approach covenant.
Right there. That's what I'm saying.
I said, I'm in covenant with him. He's in covenant with me. So I had a right to go and say, hey, just kind of a reminder here. You promised me this one and all these other things that have been spoken of here.
Right.
And it was incredible because I never blamed. There was never blame.
Let me jump in and say something very important right now that you're saying. You have to be careful. See, that's why relationship is so important and intimacy and knowing Him and Him being your father and your friend. Because you could say in a contesting way from your heart because of the trial, remember the promise. And it's almost like you're affronting God. No. Do you see what I'm saying? Relationship won't allow you to do that. You have to be very careful that you're not taking this like this and then you're just there. Here's the deal. Mary, here, let's flip it both ways so you can see and nail down what we're talking about. Mary could have went to the bathroom, bawled and cried, could have already emailed friends, please pray, there's trouble. That's what we do. Please pray, big trouble. I'll talk to you later, just pray. God will hear your prayers. Pray in tongues. Serious, we do that stuff. And then go to the bathroom. God, I can't believe this is happening. God, it's my only child. I had all these miscarriages. And I finally get pregnant. What, for this? To come to this? As if He's the one instigating. As if He's the problem. And you have a meltdown. Because of natural knowledge and your love for your child. And all of a sudden you have this meltdown where what this is teaching us, we believe, therefore we speak. You have to understand that in that place, when you're speaking, you're revealing what you believe. You get it? And it puts a weird twist on what we call prayer. Versus this. You go to the bedroom and your bathroom and you lock yourself in because you just, it's alone. It's you and Him because you seek Him in the secret. You say, Father, I am so thankful for covenant and I'm so thankful that this isn't even just a Christian confession and a stand of faith. You love me. And you gave your son for me and you gave me this gift called Kira. And I thank you. She will be preserved in the palm of your hand. And I just thank you that God, every promise and every, You get it? And there's no quick flash out on the email. Please pray. We got trouble. It's not that it's wrong to talk about things like you had asked. Is it wrong to talk about the problem? We have to be careful the motive in talking. Sometimes you don't even have a need to share things. If the day my wife went into a seizure and went into a coma and was considered medically brain dead or damaged or whatever they called her, I promise you this. That was so settled in my heart when I heard the word mercy that on the way home to see the kids, I stopped at Tom's gas station and grabbed some gas. If you'd have walked up to me and said, "Hey, Dan, how are you doing?" I wouldn't even mention to you about my wife. And that is not understood in the church because it becomes the story of your day. And you'd be like, "Oh my God, I'm glad you're asking. Look, keep us in prayer. Look, join in agreement and be in faith." We say all the spiritual stuff. And what you're actually doing is you're saying, "Man, I am scrambling. I am holding on tight. I'm this and that." Some of that is well and good if you're not just doing the religious thing. "Man, I'm glad you asked. Listen, I got thrown for a loop today. I got put into something I feel like I wasn't even prepared for. But I know God's merciful. And right now I'm not going to be in denial. My feelings are spinning. And I know that you know God. And I'm asking you to pray with me. My wife, she had this. And I've been saying all the right things. But you know what? Inside, I feel like, see, it's not wrong to do that. That's actually humble. There's a place for that. But what I see people do is they try to say the right Christian thing from all the wrong places. You get it? Is any among you sick? Let them ask for prayer. Why? Because you're not getting the grip and you're spinning right now and you just need to grab a hold of somebody that you understand knows love and knows the power of God and understands. It's okay. Right? But the other one's religious. The other one, it has the form of godliness. It sounds like God and it seems like God and it stumbles us all the more then because we don't see change. We don't see breakthrough. And then we all wonder why, because we all prayed and say we all believed. And yet the Word affronts that and says, if you believe, the mountain moves. So now we got another issue. Because if we believe, the mountain moves. Simple. Yeah, but I believed. I would never say that in my own personal life. Well, I believed if the mountain didn't move. God, you're helping me to understand and see and believe. The best I understand, I'm believing, but there has to be a place to touch and that mountain move. Thanks for taking me there. God, you're so good. Work your kingdom in me. You could pray that right in the face of loss. But right at the gas pump that day, you would not have known what was that. Not because I put on a smiley face. Amen. And sucked it up. Okay, I got to be Pastor Dan. Well, hi, Tom. Hey, I'm glad you asked. Doing good, buddy. Jesus reigns. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Right? I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about, hey man, good, glad you asked. How are you doing, buddy? I don't know that I'd have said a word about nothing. Why? It was already a place settled. It was already done. There was already a place. Didn't need to bring him into that. Hey, you need to pray. Didn't feel a need to that. Am I in denial? Am I independent? No. What I encouraged Tina in the other week, and she humbly referred to it, it was an independent thing. It wasn't actually a healthy place for the sickness part and stuff. And I understood. I went to pray for her for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and felt violated inside. I felt like Holy Spirit was like, no. And it was strange. I was like, whoa, I'm on like holy ground right now. I'm trespassing something in her soul. It was God honored her strong belief and her humility in that belief. Even if it didn't have to be that way, he was honoring her sincerity in believing. And I backed off and I said, whoa, we're not even to pray for you for this right now because this is something just like holy and sacred that you just want to go on your own. And she said, oh my goodness, that is so right on. And I've never told you that. But yeah, that's exactly, this is so intimate to me, Dan. This is so personal that I just want me and him to be alone. And I said, go get alone. She said, well, it's the same way with sickness. She said, because I don't need anybody. I just want to get it alone. I want to be, because I know God loves me. And blah, blah. And I said, well, now, honey, with sickness, there's scriptural and there's a place to, hey, and ask. And I understand your heart and the Holy Spirit. And obviously God's honoring that because I got that impression without you telling me. And it wasn't like she was standing there like, oh, no, I don't want to do this. He was being real. She looked real receptive to me outwardly. But I perceived what was going on inside of her. But with the healing, I just dropped that little tidbit of, you know, and look how gracious God is. She was going to ask. And before she even got to ask, she got called out and got it. That's just sweet. But there is a place for asking. So that wasn't real healthy. But what I'm talking about with Tom is, if I'm pumping gas, that's not just being in denial or like, look, I don't need to share my fears, and I don't need, no, there is no fear. It's not the topic of the day. It's already resolved. Wonder if it's already settled in Christ in that place of faith. Do you get it? And a lot of this that we do is because there's a lot of unresolve in our belief system. Just is. And I see some hands. Tom, yeah, go ahead.
I take it just to the opposite extreme, and I don't want people to know my business.
Yeah, that's hard.
You know? If I'm feeling bad, or if I'm in trouble, or if I need something, I don't want them to know that. You know?
Well, you have to always weigh why. You have to be encouraged to know why. I mean, you're not hiding, you're not introvert, you're not... You know, there's some people that love you and care for you and might have a real interest in knowing and wanting to love you, support you, pray with you. So that's discernment. It's just not wanting to know your business, people know in your business. There's a place. You don't want to just, somebody that you know just runs and tells everybody everything, or somebody you've been working with and saying, listen, don't react like that, man. You don't have to tell the world everything. And then they're on the computer telling everybody all this stuff. Of course you're not going to walk up to them and say, man, I tell you, I feel like I'm really being tested today, and I'm feeling this and that, you know. But there's people that I believe can be true friends in our lives, where if I'm driving, there's a place for me to say, listen, man, you got time to hear this? I need to bare my heart a little. And let them know. There's a place for that. There's a place for that. So, because it's never about what people think. It's about giving each other the opportunity to love, is what it is. Do you know what I mean? So with Tina and the healing, there was it sounded right, but it had a twist to it. And I just addressed it. That's all. Let me close. I'm going to wrap up. We're on the hour. For all things are for your sakes, that grace having spread through the many. Gee, grace having spread through the many. So all these afflictions, all these trials, they actually reveal God's grace, God's faithfulness, God's goodness, if you keep your eyes on that truth. And causes thanksgiving through the who? Through the many, to abound to the glory of God. Now watch his heart and watch his view in verse 16. Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Like the way I like to interpret this, I'm just seeing clearer and clearer than ever before. Every day it gets clearer because of these things. Clearer because of his faithfulness. I'm seeing, and truth is holding me free. You see what I mean? Just renewed, clear, revelation, vision, understanding, narrow eye. Now watch. I love this. For our light affliction. Paul is calling. See, we can't even relate to this because we live in America. We think somebody just not smiling at us is a tough day. And we wonder what we did wrong. We think somebody just saying, man, would you move? Boy, knucklehead. You know, you're standing in the store talking in an aisle, and you're not being aware of the person behind you, and they got a cart and they can't get through and they're frustrated. They said, look, man, can you just move? Oh, sorry. Yeah, sorry. Right. And they just go by. Most people can't even get over that. Most people are like, man, can't believe it. Yeah, pray through. You know? And then you go to the cash register and somebody treats you a little rough. And it's like, whoa, man. You know? And next thing you know, you're mad at the world because everybody's getting out of the wrong side of the bed. You either, your heart either gets hard to protect yourself, or you're just hurt and broken and you're an introvert. Come on. We call those things heavy affliction. Man, the devil's out to get me. Three people looked at me wrong today in an hour. He's got me in his sights. Watch this. Paul's calling, hard-pressed on every side, persecuted to the point of chains and imprisonment, and perplexed. He's calling that light affliction. I love it. That's amazing. We need a revelation of that because we live in America. Serious. And we've grown up, let's be honest, we've grown up with the gospel that serves us and makes our day better. We have grown up with the gospel that he's here to meet every one of your needs. That's the gospel we've grown up with. Every one of us in this room has grown up with a gospel that has had some kind of tone like that. It's all about Him just making your day better and brighter. There's people that have all these confessions of faith over their whole refrigerator, and they quote them diligently every day, hoping the blessing comes on them. They do it for their sake. And if a blessing doesn't come upon them, they wonder what they're still doing wrong, where their faith is slipping, why isn't God blessing? Paul called this, what he just listed, light affliction. Watch his perspective. Wisp in a vapor, life. Wisp in a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. Right? Life is quick. It doesn't even, your temporal natural life in the body, in the flesh, doesn't even speck the map of eternity. In the life of eternity, the little window of life you live, whether it's 70, 80, 90, 100 years, wouldn't even show up as a dot on the map of eternity. Forever and ever and ever. Think about it. So it's light affliction for a moment. This is where faith and the rubber meets the road with faith. This is where it's all about you, or it's all about Him through you. And this is what Paul knew. Our light affliction, it's but for a moment. Watch this. This is where faith comes in. You have to see this and believe this. It can't be a cliche. Is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. In other words, we're leaving a legacy that we didn't bow to the spirit of the world, the wisdom of the world, to love of our own lives. We're pilgrims, we're sojourners, whom the world is not worthy. Do you hear all that language being tied in right here? This is what he's saying. Now look how he's going to do it. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. Do you see where you pray from?
Yeah.
Oh, come on! It's so powerful. He calls light out of darkness. We pray from the things that are what? Unseen. For the things which are seen are temporary. That's not where you build up and focus. But the things which are not seen, those things are eternal. That's the difference between the prognosis and the prophecy. The problem and the promise. Do you get it? You see how powerful prayer can be from that place? So begin to pray from that place. That's just, we got on that. I was going to talk about healing today. We talked about that. I was in a church yesterday who asked me to come and pray for, preach on healing and pray for the sick. And I said, well, I'll get you guys to pray for the sick, but I'll preach on healing. And, very humble pastor, city church, I was there about 6 weeks ago, had a great time, preached on identity and who we are and the reason we're saved, and shell-shocked them, man, and people were really touched, and they were like, wow. And pastor just cried and said, man, I am so humbled by this message. And on the way out, I saw a lady with a walker, and I had her sit down, and I got one of the other ladies to pray for her, and she stood up and walked for the first time in 2 years without her walker. And the pastor cried and said, man, this is unusual. I've been a pastor for years and this is a gift. I haven't seen this. This is a gift. I said, well, I don't want to disrespect you. I said, the gift is Christ, man. And this is a believer priesthood. It's not a gift of healing. It's the finished work of Christ and His faith in Him and through Him. That's how she's whole. And he said, man, would you come back and teach on this? He said, because I don't have that in my background. I just, if God heals, He heals. If He doesn't, He doesn't. And I feel like if He does, it's a gift. I said, man, I'd love to come and teach. So I went there yesterday and taught, and it was just fun. He cried and had everybody stand up and stretch their hand to me and said I was a gift to the body and everything. And he had me all squirming, and I'm standing there, all right, come on. Because he went on and on about this, because he's crying hard. A man of God standing there crying. And he said this to me. It really humbled me. He said, I am a better man today because of this message. It was really humble. From one pastor to another, he said, I am a better man today because of this message. And I'm like, phew, that's how I feel every day. But we prayed then. We prayed for a bunch of people, and there's a whole bunch of people healed, and it was really, really good. One man had an abscess with pain and bitterness in his mouth, that rotted taste.
Yes.
All the pain and all the taste and all the abscess went away when they prayed. It's still sweet. This one lady had osteoarthritis. She could hardly sit down. And when she'd sit down, then it was hard to get up. that had absolutely no pain, was bending like Gumby woman, could sit down, stand right up, sit down, stand right up. She just elated. And I had nothing to do with it except that I took the message there and the truth came and made people free. But they prayed for her. Why? To prove, God proving to them they're a priesthood of believers and the kingdom's in them. And I taught that not to look there and not to look there and not to look here, because the kingdom is in you. And it was just a good message, and it seemed like it went well, and God moved and healed. So I was going to talk about healing, and I think I will. I'm at New Life for Girls tomorrow. Do you know that?
No.
Pastor Don.
I do
that. Well, you had it on your little calendars.
Yes.
Your little schedules. But I was supposed to be gone this week because of Ankeny, but you stood me up on them days, and I didn't know it, so... Just kidding. So I'm not going on Wednesday. I'm going on Friday. I called to ask him about the thought about leaving. I was being courteous. I said, you know, we committed to school, but I'm wondering if I could go 2 days early just to go to Ankeny. They wanted me to teach 2 days of their school out there, and then I was going to do a pastor's thing and then preach on the weekend. And he said, you know, and we decided. And I said, nope, that's why I asked you, just to find out. Found out I was already off on the schedule and had already told him those days in the first place. So I asked for days I already had a clearance for. So on your schedule, it says that I wasn't here, so I'm going Friday. So I'll be here Wednesday and Thursday. So somebody's doing tomorrow. You? Good deal. I'll be at New Life for Girls. Thanks for understanding that and releasing me. It's actually very important to go there. I love going there. In fact, if I don't go there once a month, I start twitching. It's some kind of withdrawal. It's like somebody says, what's wrong? Is it New Life for Girls? And so I have to go to just get that freedom. No, I love those girls. So I'll be up there tomorrow and actually get my granddaughter this afternoon, keeping her all night long, taking her back in the morning and shooting a New Life for Girls. So it's like heaven on earth. Like, my life is good. Amen? So, we love you. Probably talk about healing for a little while. I feel like we're supposed to this week and maybe next week, because I'm here next week. Yeah, I'm here, man. Good deal. Okay, we love you. Bless you. Bye-bye.